Hello, this is Roy Lilly. You know, language lives, it develops as society develops. It's why the kids call somebody chung if they're good looking, wicked if they're really good. Banging means sick, which means very good. Cool, well, it means somebody's probably hot. Ends, meaning a neighbourhood. And flat roofing, meaning stressed. There's a bear of them, meaning a lot. Where am I going with this? Well, I heard there's a letter from NHS England doing the rounds saying the NHS is facing a number of wicked problems. Now, that's management speak for intractable. If a management consultant says a problem is intractable, it means it's insoluble. No one will stump up a consultancy fee for a solution to a problem that's insoluble. So to protect fees, another word had to be found. And where did it come from? Well, in 1967, a man called C. West Churchman, in a guest editorial in Management Science, wrote, and I quote, "The moral responsibility of research is to inform the manager in what respect our solutions have failed to tame his wicked problems." Wicked problems have six characteristics. They're not properly understood until after a solution is found. They have no stopping rule. So that's why chess is not wicked, because it has an end game and mate. Solutions are not right or wrong. They're essentially novel and unique. Every solution is a one-time go at it. And the last one, you cannot have alternative solutions. A problem whose solution requires a great number of people to change mindsets and behaviour is likely to be wicked. Usually, they are big problems. For example, financial crises, income disparity, obesity, poverty, terrorism, sustainability. For example, poverty. What do you do to solve it and in what order? Education and training, a sure start in life. Employment, taxation, economic geography. Where do you start? Wicked, ain't it? That's why levelling up is, well, wicked. Can we tame wicked problems? Well, yes-ish. There's usually no good way, just the least bad way. There are three approaches. Give problem solvers authority, and the fewer of them the better. Reducing the number of decision makers reduces complexity, but it may disappoint stakeholders and you may end up with confrontation. Or pitting solutions against each other competitively. This is difficult to manage as it can, lead to confrontation. Or collaborative, strong information sharing, but with contradictory information from shareholders, it may lead to, confrontation. A fourth better way maybe is not to look for solutions that eliminate the problem. Instead, look for interventions that might help until a proper solution is possible. So what about the NHS's wicked problems? Years of flatline funding have left us with an unstable service that fails because we have fewer qualified staff and fewer beds per head of population than most other comparable health systems. Capacity is becoming overwhelmed. People waiting for diagnostics or treatment has reached unmanageable proportions, and money is no longer a problem solver. Public confidence and political patience will erode, pressures will increase. Increasing capacity is impeded. Brexit has damaged recruitment supply chain. COVID has impacted on staffing. Overseas recruitment in a global shortage is not sustainable. And training takes too long to contribute to an immediate solution. And the number of people waiting for elective treatment will continue to grow at about 20,000 a day. Wicked, man. Just wicked. The obvious answers create three more questions. What and how can we do more with the people we have? Where and how can we increase workforce quickly? And number three, how do we stop the waiting list growing? The answer to the last question is an intervention, strengthen primary care, which is falling apart. Look at what Clalit in Israel and closer to home Wolverhampton have done to integrate primary care, elevate its status, and free doctors up to be doctors. Change it from the disaggregated small business to an integrated service provider. This is a solution that's likely to create, confrontation. The answer to workforce questions will also create confrontation. Does the workforce have to be like the one we have now? Is the future an extension of the past? The pinch point is the time it takes to qualify. Can we change that? Can we trade off qualified for trained, professional for skilled? Can we upskill segments of the workforce to address specific segments of the work? Can we elevate professional skills to expert status as knowledge managers? Can we recognize experience as a qualification? And can we get serious about machine learning, decision support, and use data to deploy a mobile workforce? The key to delivering these controversial changes will be authority, but no one has any. Is there anyone wicked enough to give it a try? Thanks for listening. I look forward to speaking again soon. Bye for now.